this show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Coward. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com and is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. If you like to send feedback, you can leave a comment on the website, or you can email me. My email address is Derek, is D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com, or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. All right, I've been watching a lot of TV lately. A lot of science fiction-based TV, actually. So much so, I'm probably also going to cross-post this to the TV Noise feed. And in case you want to ever hear me talk about just regular TV that's not, science fiction based, it can be found at TVNoiseOnline.com. And it's also part of the Deliberate Noise Network. That's weird. My son's awake. I had the day off, so that's why I'm home. Why you can hear, ambient sounds of nature and stuff. Anyway, oh God, where to start? All right, I'm not going to start at the beginning, because the first one I can really recall watching and liking is the season finale of iZombie. I watch it a few weeks later than everybody else, but I really liked it. I know that it kind of strays away from the whole concept of the original comic book. In fact, I think the only thing they have in common is that you have a zombie named Lil who eats brains. I don't even know if she... I can't even remember in the comic book if she even got their memories or, aspects of their personality. There's a lot of other stuff that was going on that just didn't make it into the television show. And there's a lot of stuff that made it into the television show that was not in the comic book. It was a pretty good ending, ending to a first series. And to tell you the truth... because this is a lesser known comic book property, in fact, some people don't even realize it's based on a comic book, I can actually see this series having a longer run than something like Arrow or The Flash, simply because it doesn't have expectations of it that a regular superhero show has, in fact, I'm really concerned about The Flash because it is so good. I can actually see it getting canceled before iZombie, simply based on how much it costs. Because let's face it, I'm pretty sure that iZombie costs considerably less. An average episode of iZombie costs considerably less than an average episode of Flash. So, I don't know, probably in terms of licensing alone, is probably a lot less. Huh. But anyway, it ended on a on very interesting note, there were a couple of storylines that there's a couple of storylines that actually begun with the last episode. You know, a lot of times you want to end everything in case you don't get renewed. But I think they knew very early on it was going to get renewed, so they said, okay, you know what, we don't have to come to an end. And so they didn't. Now, on the flip side, even though I think we all knew that Orphan Black was going to be renewed, it felt like, you know, the season finale of Orphan Black, which I actually just watched like the last four episodes in the past couple of days. But this season was really slow in the beginning. There were a couple times where I was just like, you know, I think I'm just going to drop this. I'm just not going to go back. Tatiana Maslany still is probably the best actor on television. But then again, she gets a lot of space. However, the stories that they were putting her in, her characters in, just weren't enthusing me at all. But I had a friend, David, who will ask me, say, hey, have you watched this episode of Orphan Black? And because I don't want to be left out of a conversation with him, I know, I said, no, I haven't watched it yet. And then I'll go and watch it. And he was just like, he asked me a question. He thought I knew the answer to it. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. There was a character that was introduced very late in the season. And so he said, never mind. So I said, now I need to know. So I watched it. And as I'm watching it, you know, I watched the first of the four episodes. I'm like, oh, man, that was pretty good. Then the next one, I was like, oh, okay, okay. And then by the end of the season, I remember why I liked it so much. Okay. Yeah, there's all this intrigue. And yeah, there's all these different characters. But it really is her acting chops, as well as the fact that they always seem to be able to pull another trick out of their hat, right? And it doesn't feel forced. It's just like really a really, really good show. Really enjoy. Like I said, the beginning of the season was starting to lose me, but by the end, really enjoyed it. That was another one that came on. Oh, I can't even remember it. This was like the total opposite. It was someone with John Sim and Mina Suvari and James Frain, and I cannot remember what it was called because I watched like two or three episodes. You know what? I don't even know if I made it all the way through the third episode. And I was like, nah, this isn't for me. You know, cannot remember it now. But yeah, I don't know. However, I've also been watching some sci-fi shows. There's Killjoys, which is about... This is another Aaron Ashmore show. They love him over there at sci-fi. You know, it seems like it almost seems like it's not really a sci-fi series if he doesn't either have a guest appearance, or if he doesn't have a storyline, or if he's not one of the main characters. It's like this guy is like all over that channel. Could be wrong, but that's just how it seems to me. And this one, this is a science fiction show set in the way, way far future. Right? This isn't something that will happen, that even could happen within my lifetime. All right. But there's a couple of partners. I cannot remember their names. I know the woman's real name is Hannah, and of course is Aaron. And they're like what they call Killjoys, which are basically bounty hunters that belong to like a society of bounty hunters, so that there's some sort of rules that they have to follow. And his brother ends up getting brought along with their team, you know. And so in the first two episodes so far, they introduced the brother in the first episode. In the second one, they pretty much show how the team is starting to gel. And they're also hinting at some hidden stuff in her past. And by the way, even though she is like the only female regular and there's these other two guys, she kicks so much ass, you know. It's created by Michelle Lovretta, who was one of the people who are behind Lost Girl, and somebody's at the house next door. So that means my dogs are going to start barking in a little while. Yeah, we've got the new neighbors that we had ended up moving out, so the people who own the house are doing some kind of stuff to it. I didn't think those people were there long enough to tear anything up, but hey, I could be wrong. Anyway, so Michelle Lovretta is there. She's the guiding force behind Killjoys. So number one, you know you're going to get a strong female lead. Strong in terms of complexity of character, as well as physical strength. So that's what they have going here, and I'm liking it so far. It's one of those science fiction universes where everything seems to be reachable by a spaceship within like a couple of hours, you know. They're not going for any kind of realism at all, which is cool because sometimes you don't want realism. Because Michelle Lovretta is involved, and I'm almost positive that Aaron Ashmore is Canadian as well. It's a Canadian show. Now, there's another Canadian show on sci-fi called Dark Matter. And that one started off almost like a video game. There are people on a spaceship, and they wake up. You know, they're in like pods, like suspended animation pods, and they wake up and they can't remember nothing about what's going on. They know that some of them have these skills, you know. And I've only been able to watch the first episode because while I was watching the first episode, my son came in and he started watching it with me. So now he's into the show, so it's our show, you know. But Roger Cross, who has been in a lot of stuff. He's a Canadian actor who is, I'm trying to think of, I know he was on 24 for a while, and he's on Continuum, you know. And if you saw him, you know, you probably, 9 times out of 10, if you are a science fiction fan, you will recognize his face, especially TV science fiction. If you watch a lot of the Canadian shows, you'll know exactly who he is, right? Trying to think. Oh, yeah. I also watched Mr. Robot. Now, Mr. Robot's on USA. And I'll tell you straight up, Mr. Robot reminds me a lot. Oh, hold on. All right, I'm gonna rush through this because these people are starting to do some work next door. Dogs are inside, so no more barking. There's a video game called Watch Dogs, where this guy is like this super hacker who can hack anything, but he uses his smartphone. He uses apps on his smartphone to hack in everything. Mr. Robot is about a hacker who gets drawn into this anti-corporate hacking group. And although he hasn't used his smartphone to hack into stuff yet, it had a very strong Watch Dogs vibe for me. I mean, mostly because the guy was wearing, mostly because he's like a hacker or vigilante who wears a hoodie. But yeah, I mean, it's a good show. They talk a lot from like an anti-corporate, anti-debt type of slant, right? However, most of what they're saying seems like they got talking points It seems like talking points of someone who's against, like, the Occupy movement. And so they say, yeah, this is what these guys are saying, even if that's not exactly what they're trying to say. Some of it seems like somebody legitimately did some research. Other times it's just like, yeah, they're going off of what they heard people might have said, you know. The first episode was excellent. The first episode felt like a TV movie, right? Not even a TV movie, but it could have been a movie. Like they had written a script, it's going to be a movie, and they said, hey, you know what, we can't sell this as a movie, why not sell it as a TV show? Maybe somebody will pick it up, because this is really, really good. Maybe it's because it also had a lot of a very strong technology slant to it, and that's what I really enjoyed about it. But I really like it. Then the second episode, it sort of shift gears, all right, so that it was less again about the vigilante and what he's doing, and more about who he is as a person and some of his backstory. And at that point, I was like, all right, I'm still going to watch it. Now, I'm theorizing, right, that there's going to be a big reveal, right? Especially as it relates to the hacking group, right? I think I already know what it is, but I'm going to see how it plays out. And if I'm right, I will definitely tell you. If I'm not right, I'm still going to say what it is that I thought. Anyway, yeah, so that's it. Mr. Robot, definitely worth a watch. Definitely worth a watch. And finally, before I go inside, Humans. Now, I saw the first episode of Humans, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's about something in the near future where synthetic humans have been accepted into, you know, mainstream society. And this is something we've seen before. Humans buying robots that look like humans, right? This first episode was all set up. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. However, there were parts of this particular episode that reminded me of a very underutilized storyline in the first season of Extant, the Halle Berry show. And so as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, wow, this is just like Extant. You know, this is like Extant. This could all be set in the exact same world and it would not surprise me. All right. I don't think it is, but it could. And speaking of Extant, Extant season 2 has just come out. I have the first episode on DVR and I'm going to watch it soon. Anyway, so I love this time of year. All right. If you are a sci-fi fan, then you know the summer, the basic cable channels, and mid-season replacements are where they do a lot of good science fiction TV. So let me know if you watch any of the shows I talked about. Let me know what you think about them. Leave a comment on the website. Email me. It's Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or, you know, you can also, if you want to record something, record an audio comment and send it to me. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. I'll definitely include it in a future episode. Definitely, because dog days of podcasting is coming up pretty soon, and we'll see. I'm thinking I might do something special this year. So, anyway, keep give me some feedback and keep listening. I'll be back soon with another episode.